Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which is a good day because that means I'm here with my friend Wayne Breezy. How we doing, man?
Great. We spent some money, rightfully so, on some of the players that we feel like are key pillars or pieces to the team. And our quarterback is here. We got our franchise guy. We got a franchise quarterback, franchise tight end, franchise linebacker. And let's just keep the franchises going. Now it's time to start bringing in some rings, some championships. I know the faithful are waiting patiently.
And I feel like the vibes are great, which I love. You know, we were talking right before we went live, and it's like, dude, I'm excited about this season, which last offseason, and then the season itself, like the excitement level's there. Now, will that translate? We'll have to wait and see. But what I want to do today is just – I want to go through kind of the four biggest components of the offseason, talk about the coaching changes, additions, losses, free agency, the draft, and then overall assessment of the 90-man roster. And Wayne and I are former teachers, educators. So we're going to grade this on the A, B, C, D, whatever scale. I know it's different state by state, but we're going to see how this goes and piece it together. That's the plan of the show. But overall, the vibes with where everybody feels, and I know you don't really play with that, but like, things are really good right now.
Vibes make a huge difference. I think contractually things are on the up and up because you took care of stuff way before, you know, training camp. I mean, hell, you took care of three extensions before OTAs even kick off, right? And so I think that's one part of the vibe. I also think that the vibe of rest is there. Like, I feel like players are well rested. They had extra time off. They weren't in the playoffs, and that's key. And then it's a youth movement going on, right? So now there's that vibe, right? And so that's a burst of energy because those guys are trying to make this roster. You can tell me we drafted 11 draft picks. That don't mean 11 draft picks going to make this roster. The Niners can still sign veterans. They got tons of cap space money that they could spend if they choose to. So it's going to be an interesting camp that's going to be upcoming, in July when training camp officially starts. I know we got mini camp coming, but training camp is when it really counts.
Yeah, that's where it gets big, and you start to get the reps, and you start to get to see who's with the ones, the twos, and rotating in and all that fun stuff. I'm excited about that. Now, one of the things that I'm very curious about, this offseason is – it's an offseason of news, new things for the 49ers, because in the past, whenever you drafted these rookies and whatever else, it was always redshirt. Like, you're not playing until somebody ahead of you gets injured. I don't think that's afforded this season. And I think as we go through, you know, free agency and the roster and the draft, it's going to be different. Do you think that the 49ers are going to kind of stick with the same old approach, especially on defense where, hey man, you've got to beat out the vet ahead of you, but like there's not a lot of vested vets that have established themselves on this roster outside of kind of your top four, top five defensive leaders.
Yeah, I think with free agency striking the 49ers big and a lot of players moving on to different, you know, levels of their lives and careers, I think the Niners have no other choice but to be the best man win at the competition. You might have favoritism at two, three spots on the defense. Okay, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and Deamador Lenore. Everybody else got to go out there and earn their spot. You know what I mean? And so I love it. That's eight more players that got to earn their spot defensively. And I feel like the offense is back, right? I feel like the offense is the same, minus Brandon Ayuk due to injury, Deebo Samuel being traded. You can say Aaron Banks, but it was hard for me to count him in this offense. But I think the offense is back and another year of continuity. Made sense why they brought back Kyle Juszczyk. Made sense why they brought back certain guys and signed guys because the competition, and there's going to be competition there too. But I think the key components of the offense is back. But defense, it's going to be camp battle after camp battle. And don't forget, Cats are trying to make this team by any means necessary, and let's not count out special teams.
Yeah, special teams going to be big. I'm excited about that one. And, you know, it's funny. Look at this comment from Boats. He says, you know, we 49ers fans aren't going to know what to do with ourselves with the drama-free training camp offseason. We haven't had this. And it's funny because, you know, I get lumped in, and I know you get the same thing. I don't like contract drama. I don't like following players' Instagrams and who they're following and not following. I hate that biz. So, like, I'm pumped about this because this offseason, it's going to be a lot of nostalgia for me where we do our best of who's the best 49ers player to ever wear jersey number 36, 37, you know, all that. Like, I'm refreshed because I get to look in the past. I don't know if you – anyway, we're going to go off on a tangent here.
No, not really. I get what you're saying.
The entire morning, there is like a chart. I didn't even retweet it because I was just too much into it. The most receiving yards in the NFL per college. So like,
ooh, I like this.
And I am just like, oh my gosh, dude, the nostalgia, like going back through, and I'm just like, give me the meat and potatoes of what it means to be a 49ers fan or a football fan. And it starts with Brent Jones being inducted to the 49ers Hall of Fame. Like, I'm glad that Kittle and Purdy and those extensions. I saw that news and I was just like, this is what we need to be talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Brent Jones is a staple. If you're a 49ers fan and you were a 49ers fan in the late 80s and in the 90s, you know that he kind of revitalized the tight end position, right? Like, it's kind of, like what you see the tight ends do, kind of like that H-back type of guy. You know what I'm saying? That was Brent. Like, Brent was the weirdest athletic tight end I've ever seen in my life, because I don't know what type of speed he possessed, but I know he was finessed like a mug. He can catch like a mug. He was like Ross Dwelly hands with a lot of more wiggle, and was utilized in the receiving game big time. I loved Brent Jones. I mean, 84 was a number that I kind of like imprinted in my memory. And if you don't do what Brent Jones did, like, you can't wear 84. So, like, he to me is what I wanted our tight ends to be. Then we kind of went off into the Vernon Davis tangent, which was a totally different type of tight end, right? Still some of the same skill sets, but not as great as – I guess Vernon Davis was an okay blocker, but Brent Jones could block too. So I'm telling you, like, Brent Jones, well-deserved, the 33rd inductee into the Eddie DeBartolo Jr. Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Brent Jones. Well-deserved.
Oh, I love it. 33rd, you take a Roger Craig, you got Eddie DeBartolo, like, just all these names, and I'm just like, nostalgia sandwich. I freaking love it. I love it. I love it. So let's dive in. Let's go through our four categories. And let's see what we kind of grade this at. Now, I went through my grades. I don't know Wayne's grades. I want to see how he's going to go. He goes first. He's the premium portion of this show. Coaching changes. The biggest thing, like from the coordinator position, and probably I think the biggest complaint of myself was the coaching issues last year with Nick Sorensen. And then, you know, obviously the special teams, Brian Schneider, they're both gone. You replace that with Brant Boyer and Robert Saleh. A couple other small coaching changes, Byron Greasy out. You got a new safeties coach in Ray Brown. What is your overall grade, A, B, C, D, whatever, just on the coaching changes, taking in the losses for account and the new additions?
Well, I'm going to start with the biggest coaching change for the San Francisco 49ers because it's more of the it's a key component to what Kyle Shanahan is trying to do offensively, and that's fulfilling the defensive coordinating position. So overall, I gave the coordinating positions as well as the other coaching changes just an A. And if you, I could care less about a quarterback's coach. Mick should be able to handle it. I could care less about those small interchangeable coaches. I mean, kudos to them for being upgraded. Clay Kubiak, offensive coordinator. Like, kudos to those guys for getting position changes and, you know, new guys coming in, new wide receivers, DB's coach, Ray Brown. Like, kudos. But it starts with the coordinators. And I feel like Robert Saleh is a guy that you can trust. I feel like that's a guy that Kyle Shanahan trusts. And I think what makes Kyle Shanahan tick and what makes him like become more creative, be less like, you know, worried is when he can trust that defensive coordinator. You saw him, you know, at the very beginning, he had a little bit of training wheels on D'Amico Ryans. But once D'Amico Ryans punched Kyle in the face, it was like, okay, you got it. The trust was there. D'Amico leaves after 2 years at coordinating. He gets Steve Wilks. He trusted Steve Wilks. He liked Steve Wilks. But I think at the end of the day, it was some type of miscommunication with the players. Steve Wilks wasn't that type of a coach. He said something. He intervened. Boom, that started that divorce. And then you go Nick Sorensen with the inside guy, and clearly he just wasn't ready for the job. Don't care how much the players liked him, he just sucked at coordinating, schematic wise, having players lined up. You know, poor Jair Brown probably was the worst defensive player for the San Francisco 49ers, not named the guy we can't name anymore. I think that was more of a coaching and schematic, because you can't tell me under Steve Wilks he was almost damn near an all-pro safety, and then all of a sudden he comes out of the Nick Sorensen, he's damn near not even a pro safety. He's like a rookie safety. And it's like, what the heck is going on? I know I'm on a rant right now, John, but
I love it.
I love the defensive changes starting at my man Robert Saleh. The key to that is trust, because you got to think about it. It's not what Saleh can do. Kyle Shanahan already knows that. It's going to come down to how much has Robert Saleh grown, right? And think about it. You take some head coaching skill sets, you add him into there, like he could see the game a little bit differently from a head coaching perspective, but he knows his strength is definitely going to be defensive minded. I think the coaches that he has under him, the trust is there too. Chris Kocur could get back to like getting his guys firing off the ball. They brought in all dogs on the defensive line. No more pussycats. I'll leave it at that. Right?
Yeah,
so that's that.
I love it, man.
Add Brant Boyer to the mix. That's a Robert Saleh guy. You got to love it. I really think special teams is going to get stronger as far as here, as far as just playing the right way. You heard Brant Boyer speak. He really wants that team to be super physical and really, you know, giving his team the best opportunities out there. And then I think I like the competition that we're going to have on special teams, because those guys are going to be trying to get positions, you know, on the roster as well, not just a special team position. So I like the coordinating positions, John. I really feel like just from a coaching standpoint, I think the Niners just get an A right there.
Yeah, I went A+. The Greasy news was the only one that might want to back it down, but I really like the Ray Brown hire.
Developed. Our quarterback's developed. We don't need Greasy. This is the perfect exit for Greasy. I mean, what more can he give Brock? I think now it's time for Brock Purdy to take on the realms of improving on his own, figuring out how he can be better. I don't think Breesy could do anything more when it comes to Brock. I think his mechanics are great. I think his processing is A+. I think Greasy was the reason why Brock has developed and become the $265 million quarterback he is. So that chalks up to Brian Greasy. So love it.
And another thing that I just want to echo as we talk coaches is, man, you look at the Super Bowl competition, you know, between the Chiefs and the Eagles. And I hate the Eagles and I hate the Chiefs, but you're talking from a play caller standpoint. I think you're talking two of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. You look from an offensive play caller standpoint, obviously Kellen Moore is a head coach now, but Andy Reid, Matt Nagy together, like,
good point.
Coaching matters. Coaching matters.
Always matters.
The 49ers have upgraded dramatically. I would argue they've upgraded the coaching staff far more than the roster. And they're hoping that that's going to play out, that the scheme and the simplicity of the defense will make it easier for these rookies to step in and make some changes. That's why I got an A+. I'm pretty excited about that. Now, let's go to free agency.
Mm-hmm.
Free agency, little bit of a different story. You didn't really sign one starter on offense or defense. You really didn't sign very many defensive players at all. You lost a lot. But how do you grade the 49ers overall through their free agency and kind of what they lost and what they added?
Yeah, I mean, the key to the free agency is more of the losses than the additions. And, you know, from the losses, they lost, you know, to me, a couple of players that I thought were key components. But when you look at it from a realistic view, did they really lose? We're talking about Dre Greenlaw, didn't play last year. I don't care if he played a quarter and a half, didn't play last year. We're talking about Talanoa Hufanga, barely played last year. We're talking about these two guys that are looking for newer depths and higher heights on a different team, which would have cost the 49ers clearly some money. So are they really losses? From an overall view, we feel that way because they contributed so much to this franchise, the time that they were here, the tenure that they were here. To me, losing those guys like that, I mean, we lost several free agents, you know, Treverius Ward, Elijah Mitchell, like all guys that I felt like contributed at one point. We're not going to focus on health, but that's probably a reason why they weren't brought back, just to overlook things. So it's a C me. It's an average. I felt like free agency was just very average. They didn't add any key components. We could sit there and say, oh, we added this guy for special teams. We added this guy for special. I don't want to add people for special teams. I want to add high quality starters that have to play special teams, unfortunately, because they can't win the start. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, so, like, I feel like for me, it's a C, mid-tier, mid-range. They didn't really attack it to bring in. I don't care about them spending the money. Clearly, they didn't want to spend money. They attacked it the way that they wanted. But I felt like they could have went after maybe key component on the offensive line. They didn't really address that in the draft either. They could have went after another key addition to the defensive front. Maybe bring in another edge rusher just to give you some volume at that position. They didn't really address free agency in the ways that I thought that they would have. So it's a C for me.
Yeah.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, so you gave them a C. I went with a D. I wanted, like, initially it was an F, but the way that they have allocated, like, if it was just stash all your cash and cap and whatever else, but they have allocated that in the extension. So I've factored that in with the, you know, signing Warner, signing Kittle, signing Brock. Love that it got done so early. So I bumped that up. And if you wanted to go higher than a D, I don't have a problem. But you lost a lot. And I think probably the biggest issue for me is you don't have depth. Mm-mm. My biggest issue with this roster, I was texted with Rick, my good friend, and, like, the whole issue was, like, okay, what are the issues of the 49ers moving forward? You don't have depth. The rookies have to hit. I think you did very well in the draft. We'll talk about that next. But, like, everybody's got to stay healthy because you do not have depth. And you've got to have, like, a 50% hit rate in the draft, which is
– okay.
That's rare.
I kind of disagree.
Okay, good. I love it.
I feel like they have depth. We just don't know it yet. Like, we don't know of the depth. We drafted literally depth players, right? And – you talked about the draft, so I didn't include the draft with free agency. I don't know if you wanted me to.
No, that's separate. Okay. Sorry, I was going ahead.
And that's cool, but like, I feel like the reason why maybe they didn't attack free agency to build more depth is because they knew they had tons of draft picks, and they also wanted to give these guys a shot. I don't know. I'm just guessing, but I think the depth is there. It all comes down to which position are you referring to? Is it offensive line depth? I feel like we have depth. We just don't know if they can start. But I feel like everybody on the offensive line, not named 3 of the 5 starters, are probably good depth players, and we're going to find out soon in camp. Defensive line, I feel like they could have added a little bit more depth there, but they tried that last year. And it didn't really pan out. So they really focused that on the draft this year. You could tell. As far as the secondary, that's all they added in free agency. I felt like out of the 7 free agents, I think that we added, I think 5 of them were secondary players. Like, you know what I mean? Maybe we had 8. I think you got John Weeks as a long snapper. You drafted a linebacker, but he's whatever. But I think the majority of them were safeties and corners, if I'm not mistaken. So they definitely added depth in the secondary.
Safety position for sure.
But I'm curious to know where you wanted the depth to be added. That's why I said I kind of disagree.
Yeah, defensive end and defensive tackle. Those were like the big two. And corner. I think that those are the 3 biggest weaknesses heading it before free agency, headed into the draft, and now even post-draft, post-free agency. I still don't think that you have depth. Like, I think that you have 3, maybe 4 defensive ends that are rosterable in the NFL. Yeah, Bosa's incredible. Mikael Williams, he's going to be a day one starter. Mm-hmm. Ytir Gross Matos, I don't mind rotating. And Sam Oh, I don't mind rotating. Mm-hmm. You got no speed rusher anywhere in that mix. It doesn't exist.
You do have the speed rusher because you drafted him as a speed rusher, and I'm not sure how Salah's going to use him. So I will
You talk about Robert Beal Jr.?
I'm talking about Robert Beal Jr.
That dude has, and maybe he does develop, but he's been a run-only player for his entire rookie thing.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, Broski. I'm telling you, I think he was used wrong. He came in here, and he was just used wrong. He was a Steve Wilkes under Steve Wilkes. Steve Wilkes is a coverage guy. Then he had to go to Nick Sorensen. And then he made him gain weight. Like, it was just weird, right? So maybe under Salah. I'm saying maybe. Maybe he gets it right. Maybe that's why they chose not to address depth, speed at the depth at that position, because maybe they feel like they got the guy. Maybe Salah's like, yo, I could get him to work. Maybe. Yeah, big maybe.
And we'll have to see what that is. I just, the corner position, I'm just like, man, who's your third outside corner? I have no clue.
Listen, you speak in my language, bro. I can't tell you. Maybe it's a young guy. Maybe Salah picked somebody he likes in this draft that he feels like has tendencies of guys that he drafted prior. It could come in here and give us a good run for the money. You know, Trey Brown, maybe he's going to be – I don't know. They did address the position. We're going to figure it out, though.
Shout out to my man Phil. He's the best. We keep adding free safeties, but we need a strong safety.
Bro.
I don't know what the long-term plan is, but I do know that it is Malik Mustafa.
Yep,
he's hurt. Either Jair Brown or Marquise Siegel, that's the long-term plan.
Correct.
Now, you did bring in, this is the one area in free agency that you brought guys in. Pinnick, Richie Grant, like there are bodies at the safety position.
All box safeties. I'm sorry.
All of them.
Even Marquise Siegel. You drafted another box safety. Now, he has the speed to play the range of free safety, but when you look at him and where he is, he's a tackling guy. Plays good against the run, plays around the line of scrimmage. I don't know, Phil. I don't know if this position exists anymore for the San Francisco 49ers because of the style of defense they play. We're not in a lot of cover one. I don't know. I don't know if it's more cover 3 and quarters defense. I hear them talking about that all the time, John. And I think that's where you talked about simplifying the defense. And I think because of the quarters coverage that we play, you don't need the free safety. You just need safeties with range.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
No, one of the things whenever I watched the Jets tape with Robert Saleh the past 2 years, like he did a lot of cover one. He did a lot of cover one. And so
It's weird. But maybe it was because of who he had in his personnel.
You had elite corners on the outside. Yeah. Not saying the 49ers don't, but like Sauce, DJ Reed. No,
I got you. Yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know. I just know it's weird that in year nine, I don't think, and coming from a general manager that played strong safety, coming from a general manager that played the position, I don't think there's such a thing as free safety. I just think you need range.
But yeah, they say they're completely interchangeable now.
Interchangeable.
They want.
Yeah. I'm not feeling that. Give me a motherfucking ball hawk.
I'm with you there. Whenever I see number 27 lined up as a single high safety, I start having heart palpitations. And it's not because I'm an anti-Jair Brown guy. That's not where he's supposed to play. In coverage, in man, or in filling that lane, that dude needs to be close.
It's funny though, John, because if we sat, which would be ultimately boring, if we sat one day this week and we watched 2023 film from Jair Brown, guess where he played?
Yeah, he played a lot of free and back safety. Hufanga was up front.
And it was good. And I'm trying to figure out if this changing of the guard as far as coaching, assignments, it confused the hell out of him. I wouldn't be surprised if Jair Brown bounces back and just has a phenomenal season under Robert Saleh.
I'd be so happy.
Because he's also a guy that likes to thump and hit. He had a lot of missed tackles last year. I think my issue with him more was poor angling and missed tackles last year.
Yeah, that was bad. Look at this. Kawachipto. Love Kawachipto. He says, bold take, Jacob Robinson, the undrafted free agent, will be free
BYU.
Safety. Let me tell you this. Ray Brown, the new defensive back safety coach.
There you go. BYU.
Guess who recruited Jacob Robinson in college in that relationship? Whenever we had him on the show, like he was like, oh, I know Ray Brown. Like, yeah, we text. Like, that was 100% a Ray Brown addition there. Now, he played nickel outside corner.
I was getting ready to ask you, like, yeah, but he's interchangeable, right? Like, he's versatile, I mean. I know what I had to ask you, John. Is there a safeties room and then a cornerbacks room, or is it all a DB's room?
Yes and no. So, like, a lot of times when you're doing run fits, the safeties will usually work with the linebackers. And whenever you're doing kind of your pass, whatever, pass fits, they'll work with the DBs. And so even whenever you go to practice, you'll do corners by themselves, safeties by themselves. But anytime you do scale or whatever else, they come together. So
that's tough for a rookie.
It's like the tight end position, because you've got to work your run fits with the front guys, and you've got to work your pass fits with the DB guys.
So in my opinion, I feel like that's got to be tough on a rookie, whether they're drafted or undrafted. That's a lot of work. That's extra rooms, extra meetings, extra film. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like why, like in the draft process, they were like, teams just need to tell Travis Hunter, you're either playing wide receiver or you're playing DB. Like, because it's just a lot to take in, regardless of how athletic you are. I think it's going to come down to, like, mentally overloading with stuff. And that's when players kind of make a lot of mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that any of our guys are going to make mistakes. I'm just saying.
It's going to be like last year where you're having busted coverages as a man for 16 straight weeks.
Bro, I think we're going to get back to playing more zone this year. This is my theory, but. You know, I don't think we have I feel like we got man guys, but then when you include your safeties in man coverage, there I'm not feeling it.
You know what I want to see? I can't wait for the first time we're on defense and the opposing offense motions into a bunch trips formation, and I don't have to crap my pants because Nick Sorensen has no idea how to guard bunch trips. It started week two with Minnesota. Kevin O'Connell put that dude in the woodshed, and it happened for the rest of the season. Bunch trips was the Achilles heel of the 49ers defense. Like, we couldn't line up to it. All the busted coverages, players running into each other. Like, oh my gosh, dude. I remember where I was sitting in Bank of America Stadium saying, we are not lined up right. We are not lined up right. Boom! The freaking huge touchdown. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see us do it right.
Not only were we not lined up right, the players, the personnel on the football field had no idea what to do.
None.
So you could have been lined up right and still messed up, but we were lined up wrong and didn't know what they were doing. And for those that don't know what bunch trips is, just go watch the film stuff on our Patreon channels. We show it every time. Teams like trips. They like to bunch it up on the right. It didn't matter if it was right or left. Either way, we sucked at covering it. At least now we got a defensive coordinator that can teach that.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about Robert Saleh is the simplicity of everything. Is look, everybody knows what to do all the time. Everybody knows what to do. You're going to have to execute perfectly against us all the way down the field. We're not giving up explosives. Can you do that multiple series continuously? That's the whole thing. Can you execute continuously against us for three or four drives a game? If you can do that, cool. You can get to 20 points. If not, I don't think you can.
Like I said, you know, we're still talking about which group we're talking about.
We're all over the place, man.
The draft picks. we didn't even get to the draft. We're talking about free agency. Yet. Right. But that's why I think they went, just to bring it full circle, and free agency, they saw that the safety position was probably the weakest link because they didn't understand bunch coverages. So he went and got guys like Richie Grant, Jason Pinnock, and those guys to come in. And then they drafted a guy, and then they brought in some undrafted guys as well. Understanding or knowing the knowledge of the injury to Malik Mustafa, who we're hoping continues to excel and grow at the position as well, because he at one point was the most, he was the fastest safety we had at one point. I mean, the range was there. You saw it. He can recover. He can, you know, but he's going to be, he's dealing with the ACL injury. So we're praying and hoping he'll be back, you know, sooner rather than later. But at the end of the day, the Niners knew this was going to be more, I felt like they felt that the safety position was more of a need than the rotation that they have at the defensive end position. And maybe the Niners don't want to rotate so much at the defensive edge position. Maybe they want guys to man up.
It scares me.
I know.
It scares me.
I know. But I think Gross Matos, healthy, is they signed him for a reason. I think healthy, he's going to be just fine as a rotational piece. We'll see what Robert Beale Jr. is going to be able to give us. You and I are probably the only people that like Sam Okwuanu.
Love Sam.
We love him. You know, still struggle saying his name, but I think we know what he gives. And you got an undrafted guy coming in here playing his ass off. That makes everything the more the merrier. Those players seem to do so well and hit with the San Francisco 49ers more than any other player. And so I like what we're going to get from him, and I like his versatility. You can line him up outside, inside. I think the stunts are going to be back.
70? I freaking love that, man.
Man, listen, I think we're going to teach him how to stunt for real, for real. We tried stunting last year. It was the slowest stunt I ever seen in my life. It's like they didn't know that they had to run an X. They were running like a XU. I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, man, just X, cross, delay, run. I didn't get it.
It was bad. Now, I'm excited about this, and I shout out to my man Brett. He's coming out to New Orleans.
What up, Brett? If you're
going to any 49ers Rush road games, y'all got to come party with us.
49ers Rush road trip is going into its sixth year. With over 40 events at road games, if you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys. Kids are always included and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Man, I get to hang out with Wayne again this year. I'm so excited.
It's going to be lit. It's going to be litty, lit, especially because we're going to be winning. It's going to make everything so much better. Ugh.
I'm pumped, man. This year's going to be great. All right, let's go to the draft. I loved the draft. You had 11 picks, no trades. You stayed put and kind of just did your thing. and you added 11 players plus free agency. How would you grade the draft overall, which I know is a little silly, but just your performance on what the 49ers added with the value that was on the board and all those things? What letter grade do you give them for the draft?
It sucks because they had 11 picks. And wait, let me tell you, it's great that they had 11 picks, but if we're talking about grading, I felt like this is where they really had to do their due diligence, and it's hard to grade because we haven't seen these players play. But just off of the value, I felt like they pretty hit the draft. I'm giving them a B plus in the draft.
Same. That's exactly what I got them. Yeah.
It's almost, look, you got a quarterback in the seventh round that probably would have went in the fifth round. I feel like Connor Colby could be the steal of the draft. I don't know how they got a third, fourth round offensive lineman in the seventh round. All right. I mean, Junior Bergen wasn't on my radar, but we'll see if he hits, if he makes this squad. Right. And then when you go back to what they did, we know that our biggest weakness on defense wasn't coverage. It wasn't pressures. It was stopping the run. And it wasn't stopping the run early, John. It was sustaining stopping the run later on in games. And when you got running backs that were bruiser backs like James Cook Connor out of Arizona, just to name one, that found ways to run in the second half against us twice, you saw with the lines, like they are off, our defensive line would just wear down. I think they went and got some young run-stopping studs in this draft. From your guy from Texas.
Love Alfred Collins, man.
CJ West, another run-stuffing guy. We're talking all high-motor players. Mykel Williams sets the edge probably better than anybody coming out of the draft. And I don't think the faithful really understand what we mean by setting the edge or run-stopping guys, but setting the edge. So you get the big, I don't call them fat, but you get the big people up the middle, and you get the edge guy. Right, Nick Bosa's pretty damn good at setting the edge. One of the best to do it last year. You want to talk about an improvement? He struggled at that, him coming into football, but now he's one of the greats at doing that. And I'd be the first to say that I thought he could still be better against the run, but we saw him get better last year. And now you got a guy that is coming in stopping to do that and has to get better at pass rushing. And so now you're trying to funnel the run plays going from the outside back to the inside. Well, when you got the big 300-plus pound motherfuckers coming and pushing off these blocks from the offensive line, those are going to be tackles, and you're hoping they're tackles for losses, right? And so that is what running and stopping and setting the edge is all about. It's not about just letting the guy get to the outside. It's about forcing that running back to make that cut back inside, where he's going to run into the teeth of your defense. So I think the Niners just got better. And we could talk about the secondary guys. I think it's going to be harder to make this team as a secondary guy, but I really got my hat set on high on Upton Stout coming out of Western Kentucky, because I feel like that nickelback spot is going to be a competition.
Yeah, and when Kyle said, I want guys to play one spot, I want Demo to stay outside.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what you, okay, I got
now
you.
Now we need somebody to come in on the inside, which I'm totally cool with. And so, like, I think you got some guys, and you know where they put Marquis Siegel, I'm really excited to see what that is. But the Upton Stout, man, you spend a third round pick. Now that third round comp pick has been not great for the 49ers, but eventually one's got to hit. And so I'm excited about that as well. Look at this. Nick, he was in that video. He says, John, new video is awesome. Can't wait to hang out, my man. Ah, the Godfather. I love it. And this one I got a little issue with. Chris, appreciate you, man. He says, Alfred Collins will be hurt more than play. Not saying he won't be injured. Hard to predict that. This dude played in 64 out of 65 games in 5 years at Texas. Missed one game in 5 years at Texas. So I don't know. I know that he strained his calf at the combine, I don't know. I know that it's calf. He's still not fully practicing, but calf strain I don't think is a long-term issue, but we will see. Not saying it won't be, but I'm just going to say 64 out of 65 games, pretty damn good in my opinion.
Agreed. I agree. I'm not going to wish injury upon any of these players. It's just not who I am. I do understand that this is the NFL and players are going to get injured at some point. But I think if you want to look at the calf strain and feel like that's a red flag or something like that, that's fair. It's your opinion, your prerogative. But let the guy go out there and give you some good reps and training camp and practice. And let's talk after that. I think Alfred Collins, rotative piece, wouldn't be surprised if him and C.J. West started over Jordan Elliott, Evan Anderson, Kevin Givens. I wouldn't be surprised. Right. First, second down, teams are probably going to run. I want them guys out there. I'm not going front. You drafted guys to stop the run. Put them big motherfuckers out there. Like, I'm cool with that. I don't care if they're rookies or not. If they're healthy. So we'll see.
Yeah,
what
I'm curious if they're going to rotate them at the same spot. Like,
I know
Oscar Collins is out. They bring in
CJ West. I thought of that too. Yeah.
I want them both out there.
I want them both out there, man. That's 600 pounds of beef. 600 plus pounds of beef. Pause. Yeah.
All right. So let's get to our last category here, the overall 90 man roster. Now, first off, everybody got to go type in the Wayne Breezy wherever you are. Watch, listen, download, subscribe, because he's going to be breaking down the roster all offseason, getting you guys prepared for the know-how. But what's your overall snapshot grade-wise whenever you think about the status of the 49ers 90-man roster currently?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's tough to grade it because there's so many new additions. But so many new additions. I'm gonna leave it at that. But going from where the team is most familiar, it's on the offensive side. I don't know about you, but my expectations for the offense are through the roof. I feel like, you know, full off season, full training camp, no contract negotiations going on now. Oh man, like, to me, sky's gonna be the freaking limit. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw crazy trick plays because they're able to work on them at the very beginning and then come back to them at some point. I just feel like the synergy and the connection is going to be there. You get Brock Purdy thrown to all his receivers now, not just him working out with a guy like Brandon Ayuk, which we saw in the past where they build the rapport and got better. Nah, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowan. We already know he's got the strong rapport with Juwan Jennings. I mean, if those are my top three receivers going into the season, I'm excited to see what the speed is going to do under Kyle Shanahan's offense. It's about goddamn time. You got two receivers out there that ran, what, Ricky Pearsall 4.4, Jacob Cowan 4.3. I don't know where Jordan Watkins' ass is going to go, but he's a 4.3 guy as well. But my point is, it's going to be interesting to watch that offense flow. It might take the defense a little time to build the continuity, but I expect the continuity of the offense to be there. There's nobody new on that offensive line. Even the starter isn't a new person because it's somebody that started with the unit on the offensive line. I'm expecting good communication, great body language. So overall, 90-man roster grade, because I feel like half of that roster on the offensive side is still here. I think I'll give it a B minus. I think I'm in the B minus range. Yeah,
I went with the B. So a lot of that was, again, man, the offense is stellar. The defense, I love your tenant pieces, your cornerstone pieces. It's just, man, that 50% hit rate for the defense rookie draft class is paramount.
It is.
Last year. So, like, I'm not saying it can't be done. I'm saying that's going to be crazy to hit back to back years. But, like, you need at least two of those three defensive linemen to hit. You have to have two of them. And so, you know, what that looks like, I want to come back to this question from Marco. And, you know, the amount of faith that the 49ers have put into Mikael Williams, which I love. And shout out to Corey Patterson, Super Chat. He says, think they were serious about that trade up in the first round. They were. They tried to get to 9 and got denied. They got turned down because they thought the Saints were going to take them. Instead, they took Kelvin Banks, but like the 49ers, their belief in Mikael Williams is through the roof. And my favorite thing about Mikael Williams is just his football character. Mm-hmm. That dude loves football. And so that's one of the things I'm super, super excited about. But man, Wayne, you said B minus. I said B. Now we got this question from Marco. Do you think that Juwan Jennings and Pearsall are good enough to be wide receiver one to week one against Seattle, against those corners? What do you think about the wide receivers starting? No Ayuk. DeMarcus Robinson is probably going to be suspended. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I feel like this game is going to come down to how Kyle Shanahan tries to scheme up his guys. This might be a high George Kittle game. Do they have a safety that can cover a guy like George Kittle? Juwan Jennings is a unique type of wide receiver. He doesn't have the speed, in my opinion, and he can get open, but it's a little different than how other guys get open. He's more of a physical guy. So if they play off of him, he's going to sit the route, be underneath, catch the ball. And if he makes the first person miss, it's positive yards all the time. I don't know if you watch Juwan Jennings, but he's the fastest recovery guy I've ever seen in my life. It's like, oh, you missed me, 4.4 speed. I'm like, bro, you don't even run a 4.4. Like, how did you get that speed? So, like, I like the rapport that Brock has, and I think a lot of people are not sleeping on Juwan Jennings, but trust Juwan Jennings. I think he's proven himself year in and year out to be a focal point at some point in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And I really liked how what we saw at the end of the season from Ricky Pearsall. Give him more reps. Football to me is all about reps. And I know we down players and we say players are trash, you know, and it's easy for us to say that because they don't make the play when they should make the play. But if they're not getting the reps to build off of it, to build the muscle memory, to build the timing, to build the rhythm, to build all the things that make Kyle Shanahan's offense flow and work, it's kind of rough. Now, should they catch every pass? Absolutely. Did they touch it with their hands? Catch the damn ball. But some, we know football is a little different than that. Like, we know some pass is going to be high, some pass is going to be low, some pass is going to be behind, some pass is going to be way in front. So it's a lot to factor in, but I think the receiving core, if you're starting two receivers or Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings, I think that's a bone. I think that's going to be great for the 49ers. I think people know what Ricky Pearsall can do. He was a first round pick. And now people know for sure what a former seventh round pick can do, because he's probably the biggest bully at the wide receiver position in the NFL. And don't forget, he's smart. Like, he plays the game like a quarterback.
He was a quarterback, right?
Bingo. Like
at Tennessee. And, you know, I will say this. You know, you extended Warner, you extended Kittle, you extended Purdy. I don't think that you could pay two wide receivers and have the first-round pick. So, like, I do think that this is Juwan Jennings' last year. I'd love to extend him. I wanted him over Ayuk long-term. Like, he's playing for himself and the 49ers, because even if he does sign elsewhere, that's a huge comp pick coming back in the future, which the 49ers have shown. This is how we're going to build our roster. And so I love betting on players in contract years. And Juwan Jennings, you know, the thing that the Seattle defense is built upon is physicality. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a damn how physical your corners are, Witherspoon and whoever else. Juwan Jennings is more physical than you. It's like the argument in the Avengers where they're like, we've got this and this. He's like, yeah, we got a Hulk. Like,
right, right.
You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter. Like, he's going to out-physical you.
He's physically strong. He's mentally tough. He plays through the whistle. Not to the whistle. Through the whistle. And what more can you ask for? He's a damn good blocker. If the play's not toward him, if he's running, if it's a running route, you want him out on the football field. Juwan Jennings, an 11 personnel, he better be out there every single time. Unless he needs a break.
Yeah, unless he needs a break. And so I'm excited. So overall, man, this has been a fun show, Wayne.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like it's a really good snapshot. You break up the offseason into four chunks. Positivity is there. Now, the question marks are simple. Can the rookies pan out? Mm-hmm. Can you stay healthy? Mm-hmm. Will the depth be an issue? You're betting on coaches. You're betting on your foundational players, which the Niners have a lot, and they've locked them up. Feeling pretty good, man. I'm feeling pretty good about what's in store for the 49ers in 2025. So, Wayne, thank you again, everybody. Make sure you go follow the Wayne Breezy. Take us out of here, my friend.
Amen. The John and Wayne Show every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, or whatever time that is, Pacific Time. I can't remember to save my life. Love y'all. Keep it faithful to the Bay. We out, man. Peace.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Are you a financial advisor considering the Independent Registered Investment Advisor, or RIA, model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. Schwab has helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Navigate the big and small decisions by tapping into Schwab's decades worth of insights on what fuels RIA success. With Schwab Advisor Services, you have a custodian that will support you every step of the way. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.